Our gospel text this week is still in Luke. We're still looking at all the parables of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus in Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. Hear God's word, New Living Translation. Jesus is talking about the resurrection. Then some Sadducees stopped and came forward. A group of Jews who say there is no resurrection after death. They pose this question. Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies leaving a wife but no children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will be the brother's heir. Well, there were seven brothers. The oldest married and then died without children. His brother married the widow. But he also died. Still no children. And so it went on, one after the other, until each of the seven had married her and died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. Jesus replied, red letter edition, marriage is for people here on earth. But that is not the way it will be in the age to come. For those worthy of being raised from the dead won't be married then, and they will never be married or die again. In these respects, they are like angels. They are children of God, raised up to new life. But now, as to whether the dead will be raised, even Moses proved this when he wrote about the burning bush. Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, he referred to the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead. They are all alive to him. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and a little bit of Raphaism added. You know, it's really interesting how Jesus taught in parables, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees were trying to trick him with a parable story. But you can't trick Jesus. They found that out. Okay, so the question is this, and you can fill in the blank. God is wonderful. God is good. God is alive. God is God is. Human beings have had a hard time imagining anything outside of the realm of experience. Not only that, but in our current culture, respect for authority has dwindled. Almost doesn't exist anymore, to be honest with you. Mistrust abounds, not only of each other, but of anything that smacks of authority, or even more so, of the unknown. We live day by day. I like to say we live second by second, but we live day by day. We live a comfortable and comforting existence in which we can be sure of certain things, right? Or can we? You know, the pews in the church, for instance, we know for sure that that pew is solid, the material is good, we can see it, we can touch it. The air, on the other hand, can only be felt. Unless it gathers in clouds, or turns to ice, or heats to steam, we cannot see it. And yet, we are certain it's there. Otherwise, we wouldn't be breathing, would we? Our faculties tell us that it exists, and we believe it to be true. Even things we cannot see, such as wind, helium, oxygen, or even natural gas, still conform to our very comfortable and comforting lives of physics, science, our boundaries of space and time, although much about these is still unknown, give us boundaries within which we can live comfortably. We can understand this world. Oh, we can comprehend it. At least we think we can. We can experience, and we do that. We know it. We depend upon it. And we are a part of it. Amen? So, we acknowledge it. But what lies outside of it? That's very uncomfortable for us to even think about. Very uncomfortable indeed, be honest. But even what we believe to be solid information can be undermined by modern physics. Are you sure that pew I was talking about is solid, or is it an illusion? Is what we see real? And how do we know if it's real? Or more importantly, what is real anyhow? Only what we have determined it to be. Think about these things, and it makes us uncomfortable. I like to think about things like this, but you know, uncertainty makes us uncomfortable, even me. I don't like uncertainty. I don't like all the things that have been taking place in our life lately with all the changes, our email account, you name it. All these things, the uncertainty of that makes me uncomfortable, and maybe it does you too. So it's no wonder that we are so uncomfortable with the idea of faith. You know, to trust in things unseen and unexperienced. The trust that something exists even outside of our realm of knowledge, our belief, or even our experience. Trust has nothing whatsoever to do with certainty, except that we feel certain of things that we can't prove. And faith is not a head thing. It's a heart thing. You see, in our church year, the church calendar, and I really appreciate Phil, how he keeps us up to date on all the things on the church calendar. We have just celebrated the honoring of All Saints. Now, on the heels of All Hallows Eve, on what we in American culture now has changed it to Halloween, both of these holidays celebrate what we cannot see. Now, would we prefer to simply honor those who have passed away in our surrounding church communities, or acknowledge those who have founded other denominations, or even our denomination, like Wesley? Religious churches, faith, the celebration of this day is so much more than just a simple remembrance. So when Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room the evening of his impending arrest, he initiated with his disciples a ritual and asked that every time they partake of food or drink together, that they would do it sacramentally to acknowledge his upcoming sacrifice and to identify him as the Son of God, Savior of humankind. But it was more than just a simple remembrance. Oh, we remember Jesus' sacrifice, but we also engage in an intimate and a supernatural experience in which we commune with Christ, and he is with us. Now, Jesus uses food not because it was convenient, but because we embody it when we consume it. We embody not only the memory and the ritual, but the presence of Jesus within our hearts and within our soul. Now, we may see and experience the bread and juice, but in faith we know Jesus in a way that we haven't known him before, in a very intimate and dynamic way. You see, when we honor those who pass, like on All Saints Day, the saints of our past, we not only call out their names sometimes in services. We don't do that much here at Bethel anymore, but most of the what we call high church churches, they do it every All Saints Sunday. You know, they toll the bell and they remember. And we acknowledge that, and they are acknowledging that they still live among us. And well, we might not see him, but if we trust in Christ and his resurrection, and those who live in him are also resurrected, then we too live among us and they among us. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus uses the example in Scripture today of God speaking to Moses through the burning bush. Moses speaks of God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, Moses was not speaking of those dead in the past, but of those still living in the present. For God, he said, is not God of the dead, but of the living. To him, all of them are alive. Wow, that's a powerful statement. Jesus, as he often does, is telling the story of Moses and the burning bush in an entirely new way. The story for Jesus is about God, the nature of God. And out of this realm of understanding the concept of a God who is not only present and living in the symbol of the Spirit fire, but that all who passed on before us are alive to God as well. For God's ways are not our ways, as we mentioned and affirmed in Scripture. God's time is not our time, and God's space is not our space. God's reality is not our reality. Our laws in this old world were created by God. Think about that. The laws of space, the laws of time, the laws of death and the life. They're not just God's boundaries of understanding or only ours. God exists in an entirely different plane in which what appears to us to be impossible is completely possible, and what appears to us to be dead is to God entirely viable. For everything and every one of God's people from the beginning of time remains alive. That's hard for us to fathom, but I believe it to be true. Now, we may not see them, we may not acknowledge them, but we know that God does. You see, faith means that we can extend our minds to accept this, even though our brains have trouble wrapping around it. And my brain's not different than yours. I have a hard time sometimes just wrapping around it, but it's what we call faith and trust. And we have seen things in our lives and things that has happened that we believe it to be true. If you remember William Shatner, now, not Star Wars, but the television program, Star Trek, that's the guy. I don't know if you noticed, and it's been a little while ago now, maybe last year, William Shatner, the star of Star Trek, took a space flight on a Blue Origin rocket. The flight was organized by Jeff Bezos of Amazon fame. And then on the Today Show, Shatner was revealed. He's 90 years old. And he revealed to the reporter that he had, looking down at the Earth from space, oh man, and he described feeling that the Earth seemed so fragile in contrast to the vastness of space. When he started out into the coldness of space, he found himself seeing everything differently once he stepped back onto the Earth. He was moved to tears as he returned home to planet Earth. His experience gave him a new appreciation for the warmth of the Earth as opposed to the cold, dark, black emptiness of space. I think he felt a new connection to those around him and a new appreciation for this life only as we know it. Shatner felt in leaving the Earth behind of all that emptiness and grief that felt almost indescribable. God's creation is indescribable to the human mind and to the human experience, I think. But the beginning of our story in Genesis, we have heard 1,000 times. We must have felt brand new in that experience of actually leaving the Earth behind and entering into a place so vast and without boundaries that it's hard for our brains to process. God created an Earth, a place in which only we have the kind of life that we can understand and to know. God created it, and he created all the relationships and in connection. Not only we are a part of this very large ecosystem teeming with life, but we are in the midst of existence of a vastness, too big even to comprehend. Well, imagine with me how vast God must be and how wonderful He must be to create from all of this, to create us, humans, in His image. God not only created, but continued to nurture us. That's what's really interesting. He just didn't create us and just send us on our way. No, He nurtures us. He pays attention to us. That's why His Son Jesus came, to show us the way. He's concerned for us in this present time. He's concerned for all of us. Before we were a part of God's eternal heavenly kingdom, He was there, reaching out, caring for us, trying to let us know and keep us safe until we get there. Get where? In the heavenly realm with Him, eternal life. Now, we will never probably understand this thing called faith, but we can acknowledge that it exists, I hope. And I doubt that any of us can imagine how it might feel to look down at our earth from the emptiness of space like Shatner did. To acknowledge how small it looks, and yet how special and unique. It just looks like a big blue marble just sitting out there suspended. God created it out of nothing. And then God created life, and God continues to create life. To sustain life and to acknowledge life. But what God had created and who God does claim does not die but lives eternally with Him. Now, we don't understand that. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I understand it. But it is by faith. And it's the trust of knowing that there's something much better ahead, as what Paul said. Now, we can't comprehend where or in what way this can be. We only know that it is, just as God is. What did He tell Moses? When Moses said, who sent me? Who should I say sent me? He said, I am who I am. Well, God cannot be pinned down to one of our laws or physics or mathematics or even geography. God is not confined to a spot, a church, a place, or even to our imaginations. God simply is. God is everything. He has created everything that is. And because God is, we are. Wow, that's pretty cool. So today, as we remember those who come before us, as we partake in the ritual of Holy Communion, and as you contemplate God in this world and in your personal faith, let your mind be free for a moment to soar beyond what you know. Instead, marinate in the impossibility, supernaturally, and vast incomprehension of God. I can guarantee, I don't like to guarantee too many things, but I can assure you, you will leave this place with a greater appreciation of your reality, the place that you call home, your life, your neighbors, and above all, your faith. My prayer for all of us is that we look forward to spending eternity as part of God's amazing and beautiful world, both the one that we know now and the one to come. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus, looking forward to the day of His return or when we go home to be with Him. Now, we might know it yet, but we do know in our hearts to it to be true. God is, and we will be too. Well, thank you for tuning in to this online version of the message for the Bethel United Methodist Church. A lot to think about, but a lot of faith requires just knowing that we know that we know. Not only does God exist, but He loves us and He loves His creation, even with all our pimples and warts. Amen. And He forgives. That's what makes, that's the ticket to heaven. I like that song, that my granddaughter did, and I used to do part of it. Well, I used it for a theme song on my radio program. Jesus is your ticket to heaven. Call on him now for your reservation. Amen.